Let's do the zombie verse.
Okay, who wants to... You know what? Let me open on zombie, dude.
Okay. All
right, so zombie, 2007 it came out, and I remember at the time I was like ready for another movie, and another Halloween movie. I saw it. When I saw the trailer and everything, I was like, he got the mask right. Though it's not the same mask from the first one, but they got it right. There's a four-hour making of that I've watched probably 100 times.
Great documentary, huh?
Dude, isn't it great?
The Rob Zombie one.
It's over 4 hours.
Rob Zombie will make his documentaries for people like us to watch. Yes. And he makes it for fans because he's a fan, so he knows he wish he would have had this when he was watching his films. So he talks to us like, hey, man, you're into this shit. Let me make this for you.
And there, by the way, there is a four-hour documentary on part two that they haven't released yet.
Mm. Oh, I would love to see that.
So I ran into Wayne Toth at Halloween Town. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that made the zombies mask. Mm-hmm. And he told me straight up that there's a four-hour something like that making of that they just haven't released. Anyways, back to Halloween. A lot of people have a problem with the backstory of Michael. It kind of takes away from that mysterious evil, or evil just comes from nowhere.
Right.
Because of this version, I didn't really have a huge problem with it. I did have a problem with kind of like the vulgarity and the trashiness and things.
Well, that's inherent to Rob Zombie's films. He makes grindhouse movies. It's kind of like I'm a big David Bowie fan. So when I see, if I want to hear a David Bowie cover of a song, I want to hear that Bowie-ism, that influence. I want to hear his take on it. So when Rob Zombie did a Halloween movie, I didn't want anything less than a Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah.
Doing a Halloween film.
And, yeah, you know, and let me take that back. It's not that I had a problem with it. I could have probably done without it. But again, I love the first Zombie Halloween. The kills were incredible. Michael was ferocious.
You know, he was brutal.
Ferocious. And I thought because of the setting in Pasadena there, it felt more at home for me. You know, I don't know.
That's where they shot it at, was in Pasadena?
For the majority, yeah. They used a lot of the same streets and stuff like that. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So as a filmmaker, I thought it had almost like a Kubrick-esque vibe to it, the way he did this camera work.
Yeah, he did. And he talked about that, especially in the asylum scenes. The wide shots of the mom and the boy sitting there talking. He approached it like Kubrick is what he said in some of those hospital scenes.
Because I felt like the first half of the movie, very, you know, not the first half, but the institution scenes.
Yeah,
very
institution. That's what I'm talking about, the institution scenes.
Very felt, and that was appropriate, very cold. Mm-hmm. And I liked how he would switch things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, man, that the boy doesn't understand why he can't come home, even though he did what he did.
Right.
You know, the mom was like, you can't come home now.
Yep.
It's heartbreaking, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoy the hell out of 7, man. A lot of my friends, they don't care for Halloween Zombie. 2007. Yeah, sorry. But a lot of my friends don't care about, you know, they don't care for that movie, especially part two. But for the first one, that's my shit.
Well, you got to think. I think with the Rob Zombie Halloween, you have to be a big Rob Zombie fan. And that's just what it comes down to. Like we talked about earlier, I'm a big Snoop Dogg fan, so I loved his rendition of Lottie Dottie. You may or may not, depending how you feel about it. You know what I mean? Maybe you just want Lottie Dottie to be left alone with only Dougie Fresh
and Slick Rick.
But I'm cool with hearing just an artist do their cover of it, and they're usually fun covers. Mm-hmm. I felt this was a serious movie, but a fun movie to watch that Rob Zombie made, and I'm glad he did it, you know?
Right. So, I have a love and hate with this one. So, when I first watched it, I watched the bootleg that my boy Killer B had, but it was a brilliant, beautiful bootleg. I don't know how he got it. It looked like it was a straight DVD, and it had a different ending, and it was a lot of things different, right? So, I was already shit on it. So, I enjoyed it. Originally, I loved the prequel aspect. I thought it was brilliant. William Forsythe's one of my favorite actors of all time. Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite from Clockwork Orange. So I was crazy about the cast, but then...
Before you go any further...
Hold on. So then when I saw it, so I loved the prequel part of it, but then like on that particular bootleg, it just became a shot-for-shot remake of the 1978 with, you know, a couple variations where he has a 2x4 and all that shit, and he's banging the roof and, you know, while she's climbing. You know, that was still brilliant.
But let me ask you this, though, because you brought up Malcolm McDowell. What did you think of his rendition of Dr.
Loomis? I'll get into that. They totally shit that character. They fucked up that character. So but now So he put me up on the actual version. I said, okay, I'm
cool with it. The director's cut.
Right. So we watched it at the house. Remember, we watched it, me, you, and Knuckles. And then, so I was like, all right, it's cool. But then the more I watch it, the more I dislike it. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. One word, easy. So he took the easy route on when constructing Mike's backstory. Everyone is so unlikable in this fucking movie, both movies, one and two. No, that's not true, because even
Devil's Rejects,
charismatic.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They have some charisma about them. You know, Captain Spaulding and you know, Otis, they're charismatic. There's something likable about these deplorable characters. Here, I don't like anybody. You know what I'm saying? Acting wise, feel everything, great movie.
But you just felt like there was nobody that had.
And it's just an easy route.
No charisma to, even though the, you know, Devil's Rejects, they were all assholes. The fact that they were still, there's something about them, they were likable, charismatic.
Right.
You could root for. You had no one to root for in this one, which right. makes total sense.
Right. And so, like, it was, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from the actual picture. It's a brilliant, beautiful picture. The kills are amazing. I love it.
The characters are just too ugly, though, right? The characters are just too ugly.
Right. And then we talked about it. Like, the kills that Zombie does, dude, they're just art to me. You know what I'm saying? And it was just easy. This was an easy route. It was intriguing when you fucking see Michael Myers' parents pull up and they're in a suit and they're in a dress and they're in a nice neighborhood and you know, the mom being a stripper, easy. Okay, that sucks. Being bullied, that's easy. His backstory was so easy that it was just a layup. And even though it was portrayed amazingly,
right.
It was portrayed immaculate. It was great acting. The whole, like you said, it was heartbreaking, him not being able to get out of it, but it was easy. It was very easy, and it's not like curious or like, you know, like if you watch a documentary about a killer and you see someone with a fucked up upbringing, oh, that's why. But when you see someone with a good upbringing, you're like, right. What the fuck?
Right.
What went wrong? What's screwed? It makes Michael less intriguing.
I disagree though, but you, like you said, it makes sense when you come from that bad background, which to me was more relatable. Not that I have a bad background, but in terms of what we've seen before, right? You talked about it would make sense, you know, these people who commit these crimes, right, come from an awful background. So to me, that felt much more realistic in that sense. You know what I mean? Right. And so I didn't think it was an easy route. It just, to me, it felt more like the logical route.
Right.
But I wouldn't take anything. I wouldn't dismiss what Spawn said, because it's right. true. That's also very plausible as well, too. Sure. I just see it as logical. You see it
easy. Right, and I agree. It's easy to me. It's easy.
Okay. And in both
scenarios, it's a warp zone. You know what I'm saying? Instead of going through all the levels, you just take a warp zone, and then he's, you know, this is why.
I think they're all plausible to me with Rob.
Now, was Ronnie Ronnie Laurie's dad?
No.
That's my question. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, well, maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
Laurie's dad. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. You know, I never say that. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
you know,
it's possible. I think it's very much possible he is.
Judith and Michael's dad dies in his heaven, right? Right. When he goes, oh, your dad, my hero. She said, no, that's not my dad. So it's Laurie's dad?
I think so.
Maybe. And I have the answer to that later. But anyway, so it was all very easy. The environment, blah, 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 blah. But all that asylum stuff was so well done. The acting, the kid's acting, I forgot his name. He has like a...
Dag Farch, something like that.
Very good. His acting skills in that
he's,
one.
He's a rapper now.
Wow, Jesus.
Really?
SoundSnap type rapper. SoundCloud.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when they pulls off the mask and he's like furious as she sees the evil that he has. Right. You know what I'm saying? So the 15-year-old jump, it's great. You know, when Machete gets killed, I think that was the only one
that was heartbreaking.
That was the only heartbreaking one that I cared about. Because he was nice to Mike, but at the same time, it's like that, you know, when you let a snake in, the snake's going to be a snake type thing, you know. I was nice to you, Mikey, you know, and that's where the horror comes in. And then after that, I didn't care about none of I didn't like this Laurie Strode, their version. I don't like the actress. I don't think she was very good, unfortunately. That's just my opinion.
Shout out Danielle Harris, though, was in it. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She was amazing. Right. It felt more like a revenge flick than a horror. Because he's out for revenge for all the people that were shitty to him. He killed the guy, the bully that was shitty to him about his mom. So the revenge, it was like more of a revenge flick at times.
Which makes sense.
You know, another bathroom scene where he kills Joe Grizzly in the bathroom. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
Right.
You know, Myers' feet, you know, must have been hurting because there's no way he could, him and Joe Grizzly have the same foot size. You know what I'm saying? Fucking, he's 7'12", you know what I'm saying? Right. 7'2", and Joe Grizzly's like, what, 5'9", or whatever.
Right.
Let me see. She didn't feel like Laurie Strode at all. I think this, I love the mask. I think it's one of the best. It's always, you know, Daniel Harris is always good. The stalking part doesn't work. It doesn't work in this one because he's 7'2". And him just roaming the streets, even on Halloween, that tall, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't work.
Now, what do you think about, what's the actor that plays the voice of Chucky in the horror films?
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
I thought he was...
But this one, he's whatever.
Oh, Brad
but
Dourif.
But in part two, we'll talk about it.
Brad Dourif.
Yeah, Brad Dourif.
I thought he was... I thought I liked him in both series, and I thought he was one of the nicer characters. Because I know we talked about this movie is filled with ugly characters. I didn't see him as one.
Right, two has two very likable characters, and it's him and Daniel Harris, you know what I'm saying, in part two.
And that's it.
And that's it. But, so again, like, you know, him trying to stalk being 7'2", is like a skinhead on Soul Train. It sticks out, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just that, you know, when you realize that that her, like, okay, so when he has the sheet over his head, and she's like, give me my beer, and then, it's like, wait a minute, your man had a growth spurt in the last fucking 10 minutes?
No, wasn't he hunched over, though? Didn't he hunch over?
I don't
know. Yeah, he was hunched over.
I don't remember. I don't think so. I thought he was standing tall.
He was standing up.
Yeah, like, when did you grow? What are you standing on type shit? The fact that under no circumstances in any universe, Dr. Loomis would have ever tried to profit off of this whole thing.
Again, different version of Loomis, though.
We're going to touch on that.
I don't think he would have ever done this. Dr. Loomis is...
Different universe, still a different Loomis, different reality.
But I think the Loomis changed so drastically from Zombies 1 to 2. I thought it was just a big...
Yeah, big time.
Big,
but I still don't see him trying to profit off
it.
Big
change.
The character arc is trying to save everybody and say, yo, there's a tornado coming. Y'all better fucking move. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of that character. Again, the positives, great violence, great cast.
What do you think of
a lot of horror? Amazing. Horror royalty with Dee Wallace.
What about
Brad Dourif, Sid Haig, Ken Forgy?
What do you think about the soundtrack? The way the music score itself.
It was very crisp. I mean,
but how Tyler Bates' music score.
Bates killed it.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I have no problem with the anything of the movie. It's just the characters and the story. My meat and potatoes is always story. That's why I gave 4 a pass, because I'm story driven, and I felt that I didn't like anybody in this one, so the story wasn't there, and that's where it takes. Because I shitted on the bootleg that I saw. Then I saw his version, liked it more. But the more I watched it, the more I despise it. The 2x4 scene, though, I love when he's you know, I thought that was unique, different. The whole pool scene I thought was cool. So he did a lot of fun choices. I just wish the dialogue was better, and I think they should have cast somebody better as Laurie, because that character is this royalty to this fan base, you know?
I think her casting made sense. To you're right, most of these characters are ugly, and I think her casting made sense, her portrayal made sense. Same thing with Dr. Loomis, because there was no one to root for. Why? And I think had they made him good characters, they just would have stood out in a bad way that would not have contrasted well. So I think, given how the characters are in this storyline, I think their personification, how they're characterized and portrayed, made perfect sense to me.
Right.
And I did like her portrayal. What's her name again? Scout
Taylor Compton.
I think she did a really good job. I'm sad to see that she didn't do other things. She definitely showed she had the acting chops. And I would love to have seen her in other films, because I think she can do great range based on what I've seen on Halloween 1 and 2.
Well, that, like, when she shoots Mike in the face and she fucking goes crazy, that's a realistic way to go. And I love that part saved the movie. And, like, remember Knuckles, our friend Knuckles loved that, because he says, if, you know, in movies, people shoot other people and they act like it's nothing. But the way she acted was raw and, like, realistic.
See, I thought her act, she had the annoying teenage factor to her, but to me, I kind of attribute that to her acting in the movie. and that's a good scene that you're talking about at the end there, mm-hmm. when she shoots him. I thought the acting was pretty solid in this.
Absolutely.
Though obnoxious at times.
Yeah. William Forsythe was amazing.
Forsythe was dope. Yeah, for sure. You know, always D. Wallace. Always. You know, even Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm going to stand by this version, man, of the first one anyway. It's something, especially that making of. Like, I watched that probably more than the film itself. Mm. And to see how they made it. But what a cons do I have on that? Yeah, I already talked about that, the backstory. But it's not really a con to me anymore. I mean, it used to be. You know?
So what's your go-to when it comes to Michael's backstory? Do you like the good home and like, you know, what caused this?
I'd like not knowing. Cult? No, yeah. I'd like the, you know, the original 78 version of not knowing.
Yeah, 78, 81, I just, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, to me.
I'll take them all. I like the fact that we were giving different variations. Because we're 40 plus years into this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like a Marvel what if. You know what I mean? You get to see different scenarios played out. You know what I mean?
But what about like with Friday the 13th? You have one and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, that's just how that worked out for that one.
You know, Freddy, same thing, you know?
That's just how that worked out. Doesn't take anything away from either of those. But if you're going to, you know, variety is the spice of life. So I like seeing the different iterations and different takes on it. It just keeps it fresh for me.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha.
So now, being how you felt that way about one,
right?
I really, jumping into two, I really enjoy two. To me, and I know a lot of people did not like two, I see two as a midnight movie. Now, what's a midnight movie? It's a movie that's not really made for mainstream audiences. It's much more art house like in its execution, because the director is just taking a lot of liberties and indulges in what he wants to do. And I felt Zombie went ahead and did that. This movie, when you watch two, because you will talk on it, and so will Mike. There's a lot of things that people didn't like that I appreciated, and it, in some ways, it reminded me of watching Eraserhead, which is a great midnight movie with his dreamlike sequences. And I thought those choices that he made were very artistic, and I love to see that executed. We don't get to see that a whole lot in modern day cinema, so it was great to see Zombie indulge in that. Regardless if he agreed with it or not, it was great to see he was able to get away with that and do that. I liked that aspect. I liked the interpretation of the rage within Michael. Again, too, we've been having discussions throughout the whole episode about is he or is he not supernatural. It's still ambiguous. And I like how Zombie, in his own way, spoke upon that. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. And left it up to you to interpret it, what you think it is. You know what I mean? And why things played out that way.
Right. For me, I revisited Halloween 2 the other night. And, you know, my notes on it are the kills, again.
I love the way his violence is.
I like the performances of Danielle Harris and Brad Dourif, especially when he comes across her dead body.
Right.
That's heart-wrenching as a father to see that.
Can I jump in real quick?
It's rough, yeah.
I want to jump in real quick about Brad Dourif. So a lot of people shit on, have not seen Exorcist 3. They always think Exorcist. I highly recommend, if you sleep on Brad Dourif's skills and you think he's just Chucky's voice, don't sleep. Watch him in The Exorcist 3. His acting was indelible. That scene, for young actors, I would try to fucking use that and have that as a monologue. He is fucking amazing.
Never got enough Exorcist credit 3. For that.
Never got enough
credit. And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was
going to
end up as well, too.
Yep.
His ending in that one was so sad.
Right. So it's great. So, he's a brilliant actor. And he's so subtle and so, oh, man, he was brilliant in this.
So, another pro for me on it was the beginning dream sequence. The
homage to Halloween 2, the original Halloween 2?
Well, with the wet, you know, the mask was wet and the hair was wet.
Yeah.
And he came into the hospital, and I really dug that, man. That was pretty frightening, you know what I mean?
What did you think of his choice for cinematography to go from 35mm to 16mm to give it a more gritty look?
I didn't know he did that, but it worked for me. You know what I mean?
He did that because he wasn't comfortable with how he shot the first one, mm-hmm. and he went back. He wanted something dirtier and grittier. So
the whole movie, he did that.
Yeah, okay. It was filmed shot 16mm.
Yeah. So again, the dream sequence was ill. I thought the wet mask was really effective. That gore of the hospital scene, especially when they bring Lori in and they have to do all the cutting on her, and that was like cringy, but at the same time, it was.
And Stretch from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was in there as the main nurse or doctor, I should say.
Again, we talked about this earlier. You see Michael's eyes in this film before actually the mask is ripped off, which is terrible. But this works when you see his eyes, in my opinion, with the mask on. That's another pro for me. Margot Kidder being in it was dope. Yeah. Shout out Margot Kidder. There was that black and white dream sequence. You remember that?
I do. Loved it.
And I thought that was ill. It was weird. A little off kilter there, but it was weird. The Linda's, remember Linda's dad showed up at the book signing.
Yep.
And tried to kill Loomis. I thought that was realistic because of, you know, Loomis trying to make some bread off of all this. And for, I got Psycho reference on here. What's that from? Is there any references to Psycho on there? I typed something on here. I don't know what it was. I forgot.
Nothing I could think of.
Okay. Now the cons.
Oh, maybe the mother-son connection. Like he was obsessed with his mother.
No, there was something. There was something.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, because he was kind of, yeah, that's a good, that might be it.
So the negatives for me, man, the mask coming all the way off. Terrible. You see too much of Tyler's face. The huge difference from Loomis's character in the original zombie to this. I mean, he's a total tool in this one. If you didn't like him in the first one, that's one thing. Well, I liked him. I thought he was likable in the first one. This one, you know, I thought it was corny. A lot of his dialogue, corny. Him and his assistant. Right. And her lines, corny. They had to use, and I know the reasons why, because Day got older, but they used a different young Michael.
Right.
I get it. But to me, again, that's just...
It was... I think he did his job. I would have loved to have seen the original actor... But I think, all things considered,
well, the thing Zombie says, he already had like a goatee and a beard already by the time.
But I think he did the best that he could, and I was happy. I was happy with his performance.
It wasn't bad. Right.
I would have loved the original.
I thought he was very stoic, and that he wasn't. He didn't bring nothing to the table, in my opinion.
I think over the top vulgarity again here takes away, desensitizes the brutality of the kills.
Right.
For me, because it's just kind of they balance each other out. I think you got to have a little more subtle dialogue, I think, anyway. What else? Daniel, what the day? Oh, so here's something I came up with. So, you know, to me, this film kind of reminded me of a parody almost, especially with the Loomis character. And there's a scene with Weird Al Yankovic.
Right.
Right? Who does parody songs, obviously. And to me, that was kind of metaphorically what the film was doing.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. That's a good point.
In my opinion, it was a scene with Loomis on that talk show with Weird Al, and Weird Al embarrassed.
I always get to mix up with the actor Mike Myers, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it kind of went hand in hand with
and
what I
felt. Maybe that was intentional as a statement.
Yeah, maybe, but.
Well, he didn't want to. Didn't Zombie not want to come back? And
no, he didn't. He did, like John Carpenter, he didn't want to do it, but they were going to do it without him. And
oh, really?
And his thing, Rob Zombie didn't want them to fuck up with what he already made. That's why he did the second one.
Right.
Because the one they were going to move forward on was a continuation of what he started, and he didn't want them to fuck with that. Right. Or at least stain the legacy of it. That's why he agreed to come back and do it.
So, my thoughts on Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's version. Doesn't rank high for me. It's not one that I'd even run in rotation like I would Resurrection. It's not even a bad good, you know, or a good bad type of thing. So that's about it for that one. What else you got?
All right, so the opening with the whole white knights and white, that white horse shit, trash.
He thought about that on the way to set, but go ahead.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
I was so in. I saw this in the theater, and that whole hospital scene. Again, Halloween 2 is my favorite. So when I saw that scene and how detailed it is. Now it's extremely detailed, that scene, right? The surgery, the kills. You know, Octavia Spencer getting her mouth chopped, and that was just excellent. That whole scene, I was all in. I was like, I said to myself, this is gonna be the best Halloween movie of all times. If they kept it up at that pace, there's nothing better. She was, her leg was all fucked up. You know, Richard Brake as the perverted EMT driver was cool.
Now, his death scene was insane.
Right.
You felt that agony.
Right. So all of that shit was fucking money. And then it fucking is a dream sequence. And I hate, if it's not Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, I don't fuck with dream sequences in my horror flicks, especially one so fucking detailed to the fucking letter as what she dreamed. If it was like all over the place, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have dreams that detailed. I don't know a lot of people that have dreams where they're like, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. It just killed the whole... I checked out. The minute I realized it was a fucking dream, I checked out
immediately. This guy called me up angry over watching it.
I did. Because it was so fucking beautiful.
They redid that cow scene, by the way.
You know what I'm saying? It was fucking beautiful, dude. What they did, that whole hospital scene, I was all in and I was happy. And then they fucked it up with this whole dream sequence. And then you see Lori and she's so... Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm just getting worked up.
No.
So you see Lori, just she's so unlikable. And then that's what answers my question from I asked earlier. Is she Ronnie's daughter? Yes. Because Ronnie is a fucking asshole.
That's a good point, dude. I never thought about that.
Unbearable in this movie. So she has to be Ronnie's baby.
Well, she's a victim of what happened. You know,
it don't matter. Look how Annie acted. She just got as fucked up, if not more, than Lori did.
But Lori already,
and Lori didn't even know that it was a brother yet.
Lori already came back from a bad upbringing anyway. It was just in her DNA.
What do you mean? How did
Ronnie's her dad. You know, Michael's her brother.
But she doesn't know that yet.
She's a baby at the time.
Yeah,
she
doesn't know that.
See? Her upbringing was where? Because she was
adopted. Remember, he dropped her off at the
thing. She had a good upbringing with
D.
Wallace,
had a great upbringing, Right. So she was acting like a spoiled brat.
But she had bad blood in her, though.
Well,
so it had to be Ronnie's. She has to be Ronnie's.
I think it's Ronnie's daughter.
Drifter Michael is just, he was okay.
Drifter Michael's super whack.
Yeah,
super duper whack.
The characters, of course, I mean, he kills all these people that are just giant pieces of shit, so you're glad that that Michael kills them. Again, killing the monster factor.
Let me ask you this, though. What do you think about Seymour Kaufman? Seymour Kaufman's. The Halloween singer guy.
He was on stage being stupid.
Oh, yeah. He was two characters in that one.
Yeah. I like that actor.
He got stomped. He's great in Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
I thought that was him. He got the head stomped.
Right.
Same
guy. So, okay. So, in my mind, Zombie was already on Lords of Salem. Because if you watch Lords of Salem and you see the color schemes and the ideas that he uses in Lords of Salem, you'll see that they were starting to percolate in Halloween 2. Just the dream sequences bouncing all over the place, the all mental aspect, that all came from, that's percolating in Halloween 2.
I think Lord of Salem was a natural progression from Halloween 2. I agree with E. He started from here and then he really...
The whole Mrs. Myers in Michael's head, I thought that was fucking whack.
I love that. I thought that was dope.
I don't want to know what's going on in Michael's head. I want him just to be a fucking shark, the Jaws shark.
They shot a lot of that in Atlanta, that opening stuff, and a lot of the film got... messed up.
Didn't they have to reshoot that?
Yeah, at LAX.
You know, and then of course, like you said,
too. So I don't know what changed. I know her top, Lori's top, was different in the opening of 2 than it was at the end of 1.
Right.
So I don't know what happened.
Like you said, Loomis being such a piece of shit, this insults the franchise because Loomis is such a beloved character, even though it's a different universe. Kind of keep the formula there, and him trying to redeem himself at the end, it didn't work.
I actually like that.
No, he was fake. I owe you, and he goes in there, and then he gets fucked up. It's just
I really felt like he was trying to make right.
That was a shout out to Psycho, the very end.
No, that's what you're talking about. Okay,
that's what I felt anyway.
Annie was the most likable character in the movie.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's Daniel Harris.
Sure.
You know, what I'm saying she was so excellent.
Great actress. Great actress.
You know, but then again, Lori's daughter. Great death scene, stomping dude's head out at the strip club. All the death scenes in this movie are just amazing. You know, and then when she finds out that she's Michael's sister, it's just bad. The acting, the way she responds, I just don't.
She's awful, man. When they're all dancing in the store.
Yeah.
I thought the van kill was dope.
The kills are just, and the movie itself, they're all great movies. Both Zombies, Halloweens are greatly shot. Sound. I have no gripes. It's the story and Annie finally getting killed. I wish she would have lived. And that's the that's where the horror comes in.
Right.
To her death was that much more impactful.
Exactly. Too. That's my point.
Absolutely.
That's my point from earlier in the beginning.
And what made it suck was when he goes back to home footage of Danielle Harris when she was younger. It just because as a father, you never see your kids as adults. You still see them as the babies that you've always had.
Right. That was brilliant filmmaking on that. I felt for Lori's other friend that just gave her a ride home. That was fucked up. And that's where, again, the horror comes in. Brad Dourif's acting, again, very subtle but brilliant.
Yes. He played it well.
The whole I love you, mommy shit was garbage, bro. It's just bad. Michael talking was garbage. Taking the mask off was garbage. Michael killing Loomis was a contradiction to Zombie's lore of the mask. So when he took the mask off, I was thinking maybe he should be more like afraid, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Well, actually, no, that's not true.
No, because
he took the mask off when he killed the nurse, and he was ready to pounce his own mom.
Right.
So that's what made her kill stuff. So I take that one back. But I just thought it was just a bad, just a whack ending. But if you look at that ending, the white, the way it's filmed is super white, and the colors. I think Lords of Salem, and I think he was done with this franchise and ready to move on to Lords of Salem.
I think Lords of Salem was nothing more but a natural progression from this movie, but that's just me though. Yeah.
But I love Lords of Salem.
Yeah, Lords of Salem's dope.
Yeah. So I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, I'm ready for the next two, and I, you know, we're gonna, if you think about it, we're gonna get the Halloween 3 that we've always wanted.
Hopefully.
You know what I'm saying? We've always wanted a good Halloween 3.
Well, you know, wouldn't it be Halloween 4?
No, this is Halloween. This is Halloween 3, because you got Halloween and then you go Halloween 2018. So this is Halloween.
So we're gonna get four. Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah. In totality, right, it would be four, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Definitely. I got you. Well, we're gonna have to wrap this up, fellas.
So. Yep. We're done, brother. Thanks again. Always having us on here, brother. We love doing this. Maybe next time we'll knock out Nightmare on Elm Street or Child's Play, whatever one you know want to hit up. So we're always down.
Yeah. Vito aged, man, during this episode. It's a long episode, man.
He looks like the Halloween 5 one, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of girthy.
With the six mask on. That's brutal, man. Brutal. Anyways, fellas, thanks, man.
Always, brother.
Thanks again. Anytime. We'll have to crush another box set again.
Yeah.
You want to do, you said Freddy, right?
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Appreciate the insight, and go ahead and comment, like, and subscribe, and everything else. And thanks again, fellas. We anytime, are brother. Out. Thank you.